This is kind of a strange passage, maybe. Something that David did. It was part of his, it was part of the pattern of his life. God says that in his word that David was a man after his own heart. And we know David is famous for being a warrior. He's famous for being a psalmist. But there are many other characteristics of his life that are worth examining and worth looking in the mirror of our lives and seeing if we measure up in these ways as well. And this is one of those that we're going to look at this morning. And it all starts in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse number 15. It says, "Now three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the enemy army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, 'Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, 'Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it.' Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men." Seems like a strange act that David would pour out the water. But this actually represents something that is so characteristic of David. His worship was not convenient worship. It was costly worship. It was costly sacrifice. And David has this pattern throughout his life. He always gave his best to God. Whatever was the best, he seemed to set it aside for the Lord. So what we see here is David is desiring some water, and he's desiring water from a specific place. David grew up in Bethlehem. And so he must have had water from this well and from his youth. And he knew that it was good water. The Bible actually comes up with the idea of specialty water. Now we have it, Evian, Ice Mountain. We have all these specialty waters. Right, well, the Bible actually came up with this idea with David. David says, "I want this specific water." And actually, as I think about it, I wonder why no one has come up with that idea to name bottled water something like Bethlehem's Well or something like that. I could just see it, right? It's an obvious thing. I don't know why no one's picked it up. Bethlehem's Well, water worth dying for, right? It's an obvious thing. Where are the people with these ideas? They don't have to be from Bethlehem's Well. It seems like the bottled water is somebody just with a faucet and a hose in their backyard pumping out things. But, okay, I digress. So David was longing for this water. He wanted it. It says he's longing. It says, with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink." But the situation is not so easy. Saul's, of course, always after him. To make things worse, there's Philistines in the middle. And not only are they in the middle of him in Bethlehem, but they're also in Bethlehem. It says a garrison is also in Bethlehem. There's some people in the valley. They got to get through them, and then once they get in Bethlehem, they're still not safe because there's Philistines in Bethlehem as well. And three men described as mighty men, and their acts are pretty amazing. You could read them, the things that they do, pretty incredible. One of them it says that man chased a lion into a pit and killed him on a snowy day. Fascinating. This is one of the three. So they went and they got David the water that he desired, and they brought it back to him. And what David did was, he said, "I can't drink it." Now I can't imagine what the men are thinking. They broke through the camp of the Philistines. They managed to get the water from the well. They managed to break back through the Philistine camp to deliver it back. And now David says, "I can't drink it." These are mighty men. These are men that could probably snap David like a chicken bone. And he says, "No, I don't want to do it." And he pours it out before the Lord. He pours this out before the Lord. The Bible talks about drink offerings. The Bible talks about drink offerings that you pour. And usually you pour some wine over a sacrifice, and it's before the Lord. You're giving something back to the Lord. The Bible describes this. And David, of course, knew about these things. And instead of accepting what is good and what is best and what he longed for, what he craved, when he said, "Oh, that someone would do this with longing in his heart," instead of taking it for himself, he says, "I'm going to give it to the Lord. I can't take this for myself. I have to give it back to God." And so he takes that water. That water that was obtained with such a high price, with such a risk value involved in it, he took it and he poured it out before the Lord as an offering to God. Because that was costly to him. That was important to him. That was something that he wanted. It was dear to his heart, and he said, "It's got to be for God. It can't be for me. It's got to be for God. This means so much to me. I can't let it be for me. I got to give it to God." He pours it out like a drink offering before the Lord. You see, his worship and his sacrifice was costly to him. And this is a pattern of his life. He does this in many occasions. Maybe you'll remember the story where there's a plague that's come on the land because David numbers the people, and the angel is there slaughtering in the field, and David sees that and he wants to sacrifice. And so there's a man there who owns the field, and David says, Well, I need to sacrifice." And the guy says, "Whatever you want. You can have everything. I'll give you the wood. I'll give you the animals. I'll give you everything. I'll start the fire. I'll do whatever. I'll whatever you want." And David says, "No." He says, I cannot sacrifice to the Lord with something that costs me nothing. I can't do it. It's not within me. I can't sacrifice the things that are easy. I can't sacrifice to God the things that don't mean anything. I can't sacrifice with the leftovers of my life. I can't sacrifice with something that doesn't cost me anything. I must pay. He actually says, "I must pay full price. I must pay full price. No shortcuts. No cheapening. I must pay full price for it." And this is another example of David doing the same thing. He says, "It was obtained at such a great price, I got to give it back to God." It's costly worship. It's not convenient worship. It's costly sacrifice. It's not convenient sacrifice. And this is David, a man after God's own heart. Yes, he was a warrior. Yes, he was the psalmist. Yes, he was quick to repent. Yes, he did a lot of good. This was another pattern throughout his life. The man after God's own heart. He was not a sinless man by any stretch of the imagination. It almost seems like the things that he did were worse than the things that Saul did. But his attitude and his character and the man that he was made him a man after God's own heart. Saul did what looks like little things. And David, you look at his life and it looks like he did huge things that were wrong, but yet God seen the heart, because the Bible tells us that God doesn't measure after appearance as man does, but God measures the things of the heart, and this is another heart matter with David. Costly worship, not convenient worship. So how does this apply to our life? What are things that we could sacrifice? How does it come down to us? We don't have anybody breaking through and getting water. If we want water, we just go back to the fridge and get a back bottle of water. But we sacrifice in terms of our time and our talent and our resources as well. These are the things that are commonly said to sacrifice of our lives. All of us have these things. All of us have time. Where is our time going, and where is our time consumed with? We all have the same 24 hours in a day, and we all have the same 7 days in a week. Where is our time going? Is it convenient? Do we give our convenient times to God? Do we give the time that's most convenient to God? Or do we give sacrificially of our time? Do we give what's costly to God of our time, when it might not be the most convenient thing, when it would be so much easier to just relax and take a break, or midweek. So midweek services, it's so much easier to just come home and turn on the television and just relax in front of the TV, or do whatever it is that people do with all of their time. Of course it's easier. It's probably the testimony of every single one who works. But God's looking for a heart that gives costly things, that gives things that aren't just convenient. Sure, He wants the convenient things too, but not just the convenient. He's looking for a heart that will give costly worship. Our talents. God's looking for, are you using your talents for His purposes? Are you using whatever He's given you for His purposes? Whether it's here in the church or outside in your life, are you using it for God? Because God's looking for your talent as well. And He's looking for, how are you using what you own, your resources, your things, your money? How is it being used for God? We bought a van many years ago now, and it's just Fran and me. We don't need a van. We're just two people. We don't need an eight person vehicle. But we got that van when we were in the city, and many people did not have transportation. Many people did not have transportation. And that van has been used to carry hundreds of people to and from places. Many of the things that people might not have been able to come to, many of the things, even in God's dealings, God's workings, and church services and church functions and things like that, it was just dedicated to God. That's what we did. One of the first things, we got the van, we were very thankful for it, we praised God, and we said, God, it's yours. We've done that with the houses that we've owned. God, this is your house. And it's amazing that when you dedicate something to God, He uses it. He's like, oh, okay, I'll use that. I can use that. You're giving it back to me. I'll use it. We've had people at our house that I would have never imagined. We've had people stay with us that I would have never imagined. But because we dedicated it to God, and I believe it's because we dedicated it to God and we were open to that, God says, sure, I'll fill it. I'll use it. It's a resource. It's a resource that we said, okay, this is not ours, this is God's. He provided it, we'll use it for Him. Sacrificially, whatever you want. God uses what you dedicate to Him. God uses what you give to Him. However it is, be amazed at how God does it. Because He always seems to do it. If we're willing, He is willing as well. It is the rule of the sacrifice. In Leviticus 1, 3, you could read it. It says, don't bring me a lamb that has a blemish. Don't bring me a lamb that has something that's wrong with it. I want the best. I want what's good. I want what's the best that you have. I don't want something that's spotted. I don't want something that's blemished. I don't want something that you don't want either. Costly. It's God's principle. He always wants what's best of ours. And we, many times, want to keep that for ourselves. But God shows through David, it's costly. It's costly worship. And David pours out this water that it was obtained at such risk, the risk of their lives. He even calls it the blood of them. And the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. Right? Life is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar that you might make atonement for your souls. David knew this as well, Leviticus. Life is in the blood. It's only even in this century, maybe it's the century within the last 100 or 200 years, that we actually know that life is in the blood, that we know that one little drop of blood or a couple drops of blood could tell everything about who you are, more details than you even know. And one or two little drops of blood, the DNA that's contained in there. The Bible tells us the life was in the blood thousands of years ago. And only in the last couple of centuries, or maybe less than that, do we actually know how real that is. Because God is amazing. He's fascinating. His knowledge is way above ours. And He tells us the life is in the blood. And David says, this water was brought to me at such great risk, at the risk of their own lives. I cannot keep this. This is like blood, and blood must be given on the altar to Him because it's costly. He pours out that drink offering before the Lord. And each individual person will have the things in their life which are costly to them. What's costly to you might not be costly to me. I'll give you an example. When we were in the city, we decided as a leadership team that it would be a good idea to do what's called a media fast. Okay, it's not in the Bible, but I don't think they had newspapers or TVs or the internet or all these things back in the Bible. But it's actually an amazing thing. What we said was, for 40 days, we're not going to watch the news, we're not going to read the newspapers, we're not going to watch TV of any kind, we're not going to listen to the radio. All of that time we're going to put into seeking God. And you know, it was actually amazing. It was actually fascinating. First time I had ever done that. It was just a beautiful time. All the time that's spent doing all those things now is freed up in your day. It was fascinating. But it came over a time that was the World Series, baseball. And so now, the men of our church, they were all fanatics about baseball. We lived in the area, or we were in the area of the U.S. Cellular Field, so everybody was a Sox fan except one guy, and that guy was tormented all the time. But the point is that it was important to these guys. To me, I was like, I gave up baseball a long time ago. It didn't matter to me, but they were all like, oh my gosh, this is so hard, whiny, whiny, whiny. It's so difficult. We can't watch the playoffs. We can't watch the World Series. All that stuff. Can't you just move the fast a little bit and make it a little less costly to me? But they got through it. But to me, it wasn't such a big deal to give up the World Series, but to them it was a big deal. And the point is, there might be things that are costly to you that aren't costly to me. This is an individual thing. This is your heart before God. This is what you're doing before God. Costly things. And sometimes God just asks us to do things. Sometimes God just asks us to talk to someone about Jesus. Sometimes God just asks us to do that. And we say, well, that might be embarrassing to me. And he says, yeah, it might be. That's part of the cost. That's part of the cost. It might be a little embarrassing to you. It might be a little uncomfortable to you. It's part of your costly sacrifice that people might think a little less of you. You're no different than Jesus. They thought a lot less of him. Costly things. This is the way. It's the way God has given us these opportunities to be sacrificial for him. Sometimes it's just things that we like. I like doing this, and it takes my time. And it competes with other things. I like doing this. I like my rest. I like my relaxation time. I like this. And it competes with other things. It's costly. No one's saying it's not costly. But what the Bible shows us is a pattern over and over that this is the kind of sacrifice that is pleasing to God. There's a time is slipping away from us. I'm going to read you something from Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Sometimes we forget that God knows what's going on in our heads. And God addresses it specifically. He says, what about people around you? You give them your leftovers. You give them what doesn't matter to you. See if they accept it. See if they like it. He says, I don't like it either. He's basically saying, keep your blind. Keep your lame. I don't want it. Give it to somebody else. See if they want it. He wants things that are costly. Things that mean something to us. And we think about how much we put into other things in our lives. We'll wake up early. We'll wake up early for golf. We'll wake up early for fishing. We'll wake up early for many other things. We'll wake up early for vacations. We'll drive long distances to an event that we care about. We'll spend a day. We'll take the day off of work. We'll do all these things, costly things. We don't mind paying the cost for things that we like. It's no problem for us. We'll stay up late to read a book. We'll stay up late to watch a movie. We'll go to work tired because of all these things. Costly things for the things we like. Costly things for the things of God as well. Saul is the one who wanted to keep the best for himself. Saul is the one who said, okay, we'll take the best of all the things here and we'll keep them. He said, yeah, we'll sacrifice some stuff to God. But he wanted the best for himself. So we want to be like David. We want to be men and women like David. Men after God's heart. Things that are costly. David is in essence saying, I didn't do anything to receive this. By grace I have received it, and I'm going to give it right back to God. I'm going to give it right back to God. I didn't do anything to receive it. God gave it to me. I'll give it back to Him. Just like the 24 elders, they throw their crowns down because they say, they see, it's not me that has earned the crown. It's God that has done this. God's given me the crown. God's given me the ability. God's given me everything to receive the crown. I give it back to you. And David says, I give right back to God. I pour it out as a drink offering before God. And you say, well, this doesn't sound very biblical. Paul says it himself. Why don't we turn, if you can, to Philippians 2 and verse 17. Philippians 2 and verse 17. This is Paul speaking. And he says this. He says, yes. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For this same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul takes this right into our day and age. He says, okay, I know the sacrifices are gone, but he says, my life is now a drink offering. My life is now poured out before God. My life, all the best of what I have, is given to you, God. I am just a drink offering before you. I am just poured out before you, Lord. This is the way he lived his life. He lived his life as an offering to God, as a drink offering poured out before God, saying, the best that I have is yours, God. I'll give you whatever. Whatever it is in my life, I'll just pour it out before you. And I know that there are different levels of what's in our heart. There's also differences in our ages and what we can do. As we're younger, we get to do more. You get to stay up a little later. As you're older, you don't get to stay up as later. And so it seems, that's what it seemed in my life the last few years. Don't laugh, you'll get there. Or maybe you're already there. Maybe you're in bed before me. But poured out as a drink offering before God. Doesn't matter what's in my life. You sacrifice. And the thing is that there's no apparent benefit to David for this. There's nothing that happens. There's no, the sky doesn't split. The voice from heaven doesn't come. The thunder doesn't crack. There's no whirlwind. There's no fire from heaven that comes and licks up the offering. All there is at the end of this sacrifice is there's a puddle on the ground and there's three angry men in front of David. Probably. That's all there is. There's no indication of anything else. David does all this, and all there is a puddle on the ground at the end of it. And sometimes we sacrifice and we say, well, we want to see God split open heaven, and we want to see some miraculous thing, and we want to see something wonderful from God that He's pleased. Well, there's no indication at all that that was the case for David. Just a puddle on the ground and three men with their mouths open. What are you doing? I could just see them. No, David, don't do that, David. David, now let's be rational. Let's be rational. Don't pour that out. Do you know what we've done? And he says, I know exactly what you've done, and that's why I have to do it. Because it's costly. It's costly. And it's something that means something. And because my God is worthy, and because our God is worthy, this is why we do it. And because we want to be men and women after God's own heart, and we want to make this our lifestyle. We don't want to do this one time and then that's it. This needs to be our lifestyle, that we live before God. A lifestyle of costly worship, because God is worthy. Because he deserves honor, and he deserves praise, and he deserves for us to be poured out like a drink offering before him. In the name of God be praised.